Come on now. What's up, Rock family? How you doing today? Well, we got some special guests up here that I'm going to introduce here in a minute. Before I pray, but I want to welcome all our campuses. I want to welcome everybody watching online. I'm Miles, Pastor of the Rock. Let me say something about the election that just happened. I did a series called Kingdom Conflict about a month ago, 2 weeks, talking about the election, how to vote, not necessarily who to vote for, but how to go about the process and process the issues with the Bible. It's very important to vote according to the Bible. And one of the things that I stressed was, whether you win or lose, we are kingdom people. And if your side won, be gracious to the people who lost. Don't be gloating, because we are kingdom people. And if you lost and you're fearful about what's going to happen, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship. We are God. Jesus is still on the throne. I just got I think this happened in September, but I just saw a notification today that the government, the legislatures of Tennessee, call for 31 days of prayer and fasting for their state. We need that for our country, that we're going to pray and fast for our country. Can I get amen? So let's take a moment right now and pray for our country, that God's will be done, not man's will, that God's will be done. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being on the throne. Thank you that there is no election to depose you or replace you or elect you. You are duly self-elected. You are the uncreated creator, the beginningless beginner, and you will end all things and renew all things. So we thank you for your faithfulness. We put our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Come on, church. Before I introduce who's up here, I want to give a little setup to what's happening. I believe that you can't effectively measure anything without a number. You can't measure your height without a number. You can't measure your paycheck without a number. Your vacation days, for all you who have jobs and don't want to be measured by numbers, you measure your vacation days by numbers, your paycheck, your taxes. And I would even say you can't measure love without a number. God sent his only son. He had one. He didn't have 5,000 sons where he can give up, you know, one. His love is measured in one way, by him giving up his only son. As a church, and in churches, we measure attendance by numbers, salvation by numbers, and generosity by numbers. But all those numbers are people, and all those numbers represent families. And in this instance, we have people here that your giving and your serving is going to impact over the next 3 years as we start this series called Your Heart for Your House. Today, we're going to talk about Their Heart for Your House. But your generosity, because in 2 weeks, we are going to have a special offering, I believe it's the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of November at all the campuses to give for evangelism, especially next-gen evangelism. We're going to put hot sauce on the next 3 years in evangelizing the young people in San Diego and then beyond. Come on, somebody. And this is the future of the church. You may not feel it yet, but you're going to get old. I went to Grandparents' Day the other day for my grandson. It was all grandparents, and I was like, I got to get out of here. I'll get old. Okay, you're going to get old. This is the future of the church. All these young people were not born when this church started. They weren't even born. And so what we're going to talk about today and the next couple weeks and the next 3 years is getting as many people saved, young people saved as possible, and train up as leaders. We need 125 adults to sign up and be involved in youth ministry. We're going to recruit you today. That's church-wide. That's nothing. Come on. That's nothing. But let me just highlight a couple things about generosity, because we're going to be doing a special offering next week. That's not only an offering for how we're going to reach young people, but how you are going to invest in your dream, because you also have a vision for your house. And we want you to bring your vision to that event in 2 weeks at our campuses, so you can say, here's what I'm praying for my family. Number one, generosity tells us we trust him. The Bible says that when we give, we're telling God we trust him, and that we trust him that he can reach other people. Generosity also connects your money to kingdom purposes. The guy who gave the few loaves and a few fish and fed 5,000, he was a little boy just giving what he had, and yet Jesus multiplied it to reach thousands of people. And generosity transforms your money into a seed. So in a couple weeks, I want you to be thinking about, as you hear this, not only what you're going to do for youth ministry and how you're going to help, but also the dream that you have for your life and the financial investment you're going to make into your own dream that God has given you. We're going to talk more about that next week. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's give the Lord a hand. Come on now. So we have my people. What's up, y'all?
Hi.
Everybody say hi.
Hi.
Okay, introduce yourself. Tell everybody who you are.
Good morning. My name is Nyla Gavin. I am 21. I'm going to be 22 next week. I graduated from State a year early last year, and I've been attending The Rock for almost about a year now. And my testimony is that I grew up in church, but I never really had my own relationship with the Lord. I kind of always piggybacked off my parents' faith. And before I had my own relationship with the Lord, I found myself finding identity in things like sleeping with men or smoking weed and partying in TJ, which is where I learned Spanish. But, I met Jesus met me when I was at rock bottom. I was at rock bottom because I was in a car crash. So I was going through physical pain, but also I was going through emotional pain. I felt heartbroken and emptiness, even though I had a lot of people in my life supporting me. When I met Jesus, it was a love like I had never encountered before. And he pulled me out of a depression that I thought that I could never get out of. You know, I believed the lie that I would stay there forever. And he just really changed my life. And since then, I have had an extended family at The Rock through young adult nights and small group. And I've grown so much spiritually. Shout out to God, because I couldn't do it without him. And most importantly, I have grown in my relationship with him. And this has been the best decision I have ever made in my life and will ever continue to make. So yeah.
My name is Michaela Bird. I'm 21 years old. I'm currently a senior studying PR at SDSU, and I've been attending The Rock Church for about a year now as well. My testimony is very similar. I grew up in a Christian household, but wanted nothing to do with Jesus. I believed it was all religion and not relationship. I indulged in everything the world had to offer, whether that be drugs, sleeping around, pornography. I was addicted, and I had no self-worth, and made really poor decisions. One decision led me to my rock bottom last February of 2023, and I hit my rock bottom. I wanted to kill myself, and I called on the name that my mom told me to pray with that night, and that was Jesus, and since then, Jesus. I call on the song, The Defender, by Maverick City, and the lyrics go, he picked up all my pieces, put me back together, and reintroduced me to his heart and to his love. I've experienced a love like no other, and I can truly say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him.
One of the incredible benefits of hearing a person's story is that some of y'all are going, that's me now. I'm suicidal now. I'm rock bottom now. I just did something crazy last night. And to hear the victory that we're going to offer you in a few minutes, to ask Christ to be your savior, that is the solution we have, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as you listen to this, some of y'all are going to be saying, yeah, I that's me. Well, we're going to have some hope for you here in a few minutes, because this is not fake, and you got to pray for them, because the devil's not going to leave them alone. But they've been through some stuff, and we want to help you with introducing you to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen.
How's it going, guys? I'm Dominic. I'm 16 years old. I'm 16, and I'm a junior in high school. I've been at The Rock for the past 11 months now, and let's just... little short testimony. Before Jesus, I've always kind of knew who he was growing up from my mom. She taught me what it meant to follow him, but I never truly embodied it until about 2 years ago at a worship event my friends invited me to. I felt the Holy Spirit come over me, and I started crying, shaking, you know, the works. And from that moment, I gave my life to Christ and started to follow him. And now, fortunately, he brought me to The Rock, and now I'm here, right?
Yeah.
How's it going, church? My name is Isaac Pontaneris. I'm 17. I'm a junior in high school. I've been coming to The Rock for about over a year now. Short testimony, you know, before, there was never a before for me. I knew of Christ. I grew up in the church. But I was still struggling, you know. I was a pastor's kid struggling with depression, with lust, anxiety, lack of confidence, and lack of faith. Then Jesus met me my freshman year. He stripped me of everything in my life that I had placed my identity in to reveal to me the identity that I could have if I placed it in him. And since then, I've been able to step into my calling, and I've been using my gifts at The Rock Youth Ministry.
Amen.
Come on now. Good morning, Rock family. My name is Allison. I have the pleasure to serve as the youth and young adult pastor for this church. It's crazy that, Pastor, this week marks 6 years of being able to serve in this role, and it's been an honor and privilege for you guys to allow me to serve with you and to serve with you, the gangsta of all gangsters. And so it's been an honor. One of the things that I wanted to share with you guys is over the past 6 years, it has been clear that there's been this roller coaster ride that's been happening with our children, especially in our country. And it's clear that the enemy has plans for our children. But guess what? So do we. And in just a moment, we're going to share with you guys our plans. And Pastor's going to walk us through the life of what it looks like to be a young person growing up here in our culture.
Amen. Amen. If you didn't know, I started in youth ministry 40 years ago, 1984. And so I've always been a youth advocate, youth pastor. But times have changed. I want to put some stats up on the screen for you to show you kind of what's going on with kids these days. And this is something that God wants us to pay close attention to. Let's put those up there. Suicide is second leading death, 16 to 19 is the first leading death of kids. Okay, this next one. Okay, I'll just read them off the screen. Drugs, 50% of teenagers have misused drugs at least once. Alcohol, 62% of teenagers in 12th grade have abused alcohol. 4.8 hours daily on social media. My goodness, you know what you could do with 4.8 hours? You can be somebody. I'm telling you, how many of y'all want to be somebody? Okay. Give me an hour a day. Gosh. Next one. 22% of adolescents aged 12 to 19 are classified obese. 25% of teens between ages 12 and 18 are bullied each year. 11.5% of youth experience severe major depression. I've heard that several times here. Numbers of 20% of the population. Okay, I don't know where that one came from. I don't know if I missed it, but the number one cause of death between 14 and 15 year olds is suicide. Just want to think about that. When you're 14 years old, you think about killing yourself. That is Satan. Satan is about stealing, killing, and destroying, and Jesus is about life and life abundantly. Can I get amen? And so we want to hear victory right here, a victory over that. That's what these testimonies are about. But this gives us hope that we can help save kids. There was a young lady, sad to say, jumped off a high school, local high school, last week and killed herself, right? A mile and a half from here. It happens all the time, and it is tragic. And so we all need to not let it be one of the noise things we hear in the media, but we really need to be very intentional about reaching out to young people, praying for young people, because all of y'all were a young person before. And all of y'all, at least see them, you must know somebody. We got to go get them. We got to go get them. So a lot of y'all talked about depression, and I and my family have people who have been depressed. I'm very, very aware, have very a lot of firsthand knowledge of depression. Tell me about your depression and how you've experienced it.
My depression first started when I was around 12, which was around COVID. It started. It just happened over a sequence of back-to-back events, you know. It was very unfortunate the way everything panned out. I lost a bunch of friends. My whole family was sick. I was super sick, bedridden for at least 2 months. Almost lost my mom to pneumonia. She was hospitalized. And the craziest thing, to top it all off, my dog bit my hand. Like, are you kidding me? Y'all say so.
That's I was your just, boy, right?
Yeah, my boy. You know what I mean? It was purely just, you know, I didn't seek his face in those moments. I was so focused on believing that lie that, you know, there's no hope. My life is just going to be straight struggles from then on.
When the dog bit your hand, because I know you kind of capped off your list with your dog biting your hand. What did that say to you? And by the way, the dog biting your hand and how the devil interprets it are two different things. Okay, you might have had some peanut butter on your finger. I don't know what, but the devil's telling you even your dog is against you. What did the devil say to you when that happened?
Oh, man, it was, I mean, like I said, it was during COVID. You know, there was no community for me. I mean, and during that time, I was investing more time in building that, you know, that friendship with that dog. And then when he bit me, you know, it was almost like the devil was trying to, he was trying to attack me. He was like, you see what you're doing and the works you're doing, the effort you're putting in, it's worthless. It's not going to work.
Now that you talked about depression as well, tell me about your experience with that.
So for me, it was like, again, like things from the car crash and then a heartbreak and things were just piling up and I just felt like I would just never be happy again. I remember I started just getting high more and I was just masking all that pain. And
masking all the pain. Everyone say masking all the pain. That's what some of y'all are doing. It's not going away. You're just putting a little something on that's gonna wash off in a few hours. Sorry.
So yeah, so I was just believing that lie. I mean, like a lot of my life, I've been happy, a joyous person. And I was just like, man, I am not gonna get out of this.
Stop right there. Say, I am gonna get out of this. The devil's gonna tell you you're hopeless. He's gonna take all your hope away. That's his job. God is the God of hope. He gives us hope. Can I get amen? Amen. Sorry to keep interrupting.
So yeah, I did get out of it, obviously. And, you know, I started believing the truth that Jesus sets me free, that I'm not going to be sad, that in him I have freedom and in him I have joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And he just started filling my life with so much love. And I started realizing, like, I'm gonna be happy again. Like, that's not it for me. I have so much more. He has called me to so much more. And yeah, ever since then, it's been amazing.
So there's people out here going, so you were depressed, hopeless, and now you're better. What did you practically do to make that shift? Did you say, I'm just gonna start reading my Bible. I'm gonna make a decision to believe what the Bible says. I'm gonna start listening to worship songs. I'm gonna hang around different people. What did you actually do?
So for me, my parents also at the time, it was interesting because they were like growing their relationship again. So I think we just kind of started, for myself, I started to figure out more of who Jesus was. So in his words or in sermons from like churches and just slowly like, everything that I was doing just didn't feel right anymore. So I didn't want to smoke anymore. I didn't want to go out anymore. I didn't want to sleep around anymore. And I started to go to church more. And like, it was last year when I came here to The Rock and it was like, this is the year that changes my life.
Yeah, we did a series year changed
yes.
my life.
And I was like, that's what I want. Like, I want my life to change because I'm tired of the old ways and I'm tired of being hopelessness. And so it was just really like God changed my heart and it opened my heart to love him more and to see more of his love. And with that, I saw more of who I was. So it was really,
How many of y'all want God to change your life? Amen. What does she say? And I'm not saying you have to do this, but this is, read the word. Yes, you have to do that. The Bible, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and can discern the thoughts and intents of your heart. A lot of what we go through is, we talked about a series, two series ago, a lot of what happens is right here in our head, when the devil is talking to us, accusing us against ourselves, accusing God, accusing other people, and we start getting caught up in that versus what does God say? What is God's word for you? What are God's promises for you? Reading the word, coming to church, being in fellowship, worshiping God. This stuff works. It really does. This is not designed for you to come one day. And this is what I hear this all the time. I came to church and nothing happened. It's an hour here is not going to change your life. It can be the beginning of something, but you have to actually change your life to change your life. It's like going to the gym one time a month and expecting you're going to be looking all good. You know what I'm saying? It ain't going to happen. So read the word. Say, everyone say, read the word. Get in a small group. Say, get in a small group. Get on the discipleship pathway at your church. Do that and watch what happens. Okay, Michaela, what is it like to be a young person? You're 21, this 16, 17, a young and today in 2024. It's crazy.
It is crazy, y'all. It's hard. It's rough out here.
It's rough in these streets.
But like I said, Jesus is the truth and the way. And one scripture that has really gotten me through, I think, sanctification, which is like the process of being changed from the inside out, which you can only be changed through the Holy Spirit and reading his word, was Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. That scripture, oh my gosh, guys, I was working at BJ's last year. It was a rough year. And I felt a bit of discrimination. I didn't understand why my life wasn't changing, why I couldn't find a different job. I was praying, I was doing all the things. I'm like, why isn't my life changing? I don't understand. But you have to have faith that waiting seasons create change and suffering creates perseverance, which then creates character, and character then hope.
Hey, let's everybody start snapping real quick. Let's snap, snap, snap. What does that mean, honey? What does that mean to me, snap?
But yeah, God is good.
Iceman, what's it like being, you're 16, right? 17, he's 16. Okay, 17. You old.
Man, I'm a.
You're gonna be 20 in 3 years, man.
I'm gonna have to agree with Michaela. When I was asked that question, I was just like, man, it's hard, man. I'm gonna be real. Like, it's really hard because we're so surrounded by so many things that can be so easily turned into our gods. And you know, so that the biggest struggle that I've seen is idolatry. I've seen this generation, you know, they idolize. Thank you so much. I love you guys so much.
You got idolize, friends. You got family, man. You got
family. Idolize, you know, money, relationships, popularity, sex, video games, our phones, you know, the list goes on. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've fallen short of some of these, but you know, I've seen the fruits of it, and it's half in, half out with God, if not completely out with God, and it only brings bitter and rotten fruit.
What is the biggest threat? Any of y'all can answer this. What's the biggest threat? I mean, you just mentioned a bunch of stuff. The biggest threat to your faith, because when and this is true for all of us, we're all surrounded by the world, but y'all go to school, you're in your circles, all the things that people your age do. What are some of the threats to your faith and the threat to you even being bold about your faith? Any of y'all?
I would definitely say peer pressure. I think that that's very prevalent. You know, for example, I have a friend that I've known since we were young, and recently he started partying, smoking, etc., and strongly encouraging me to do the same, right? And talking to him, it reminded me of a verse, Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And one of my friends kind of put it this way. He said, what happens when you rub a dull piece of metal against a sharp piece of metal? The sharp piece of metal becomes dull. So it kind of, that taught me that I need to try and surround myself with equally yoked friends and set up good boundaries with others.
Amen, amen. And it's a two-edged sword, because if you surround yourself with Christians, you will become more Christian. However, you don't want to isolate yourself from non-Christians, because you want to be a light. So you go in and you get your fire hot, you surround yourself with brothers and sisters in the Lord, and then you say, Lord, how can you use me in someone else's life who doesn't know who Christ is? How can you use me in a person's life who is going the wrong way and being destroyed by your life? I mean, I'm sure y'all see people in your life being destroyed by the world. Would that be true? Give me an example. Your friend, how's he doing?
Still in it, and I'm trying to talk to him and get him out of it, and you know, be the light that you were kind of talking about. But you know, it's hard. hard to talk to people your age about this kind of thing, you know, because you seem so, you might come off as judgmental, or they might be like, well, like, you know, what are you telling me about, you know?
Now, y'all, unlike adults, y'all are surrounded, and it just hit me, and maybe if I'm thinking about it, I'm just trying to process it right now. Y'all are surrounded by thousands of your peers every day at school. You know, we go to work, we may have 20, 30 people at work, and then we go home. But you remember when you were in high school, you had 1,000, 500, whatever your school was, constantly going in, you're around every day being interacted. You go to a dance, school dance, and there's hundreds of there. The football game, there's thousands of there. So you are surrounded. What percentage of that would you say are going in the opposite direction of what you're trying to go in? Does that make sense? Because we can kind of slip and slide, you know, go to work, don't say anything, be in your cubicle, go home. They are around constant noise of people, you know, 80, 90%. I'm just making this up, but a vast majority of the people in your life are going in the opposite direction. Would that be a true statement? Dominic, tell me about some of the threats to your faith in your world.
biggest. I mean, Dom hit it on the point. It's the peer pressure, and I think more specifically for me, relationships. Seeking godly results. I think Pastor Travis said that a couple weeks ago. Seeking godly results from anything other than God is idolatry. In middle school, I had a relationship that kind of just left me broken. Messed up my trust and my confidence. And that was, from then, I was just, you know, I was seeking that trust, that confidence, that feeling of belonging, that feeling of being wanted. And then, like I said, freshman year, God stripped me of that, and he revealed to me, you know, that he was always there. He always wanted me, and he still is here, and he still wants me.
What are some of the alternative sources of information and revelation that young people are looking to for truth and meaning? Because every person on the planet is looking for purpose and meaning somehow. They have some basis of truth. Even if their basis, well, I don't believe in God. Well, you believe in something. You believe in yourself. You believe in money. There is something you believe in. So what are some of the alternative sources of truth and belief that people are looking for?
I can answer this one. I personally, before I found Jesus, looked to crystals and manifestation, was very into the New Age spirituality. As it's very mainstream, you go on TikTok and someone is literally pulling out tarot cards on a live. It's everywhere, it's normalized, it's in stores you go in, it's in conversation. So when you bring up Jesus, people get scared. People are like, oh, you're this religious person. And it's because they don't have the truth. They don't understand who Jesus really is. And that's why it's so important that we're well equipped with the truth, which is spending time with Jesus daily in his word. We need to do those things to know the truth. That is the truth. And anything that says otherwise, that contradicts the Bible, is not the truth. And so I think it's just like learning to be bold in expressing your faith. And when you, like, I, for example, I was at work yesterday and someone told me they didn't want to be around negative energy, so they got a citron crystal. And I was just, because I was there, so I empathize with it, but it's a matter of navigating those conversations and being like, that's not going to bring you true peace. And that's why testimonies are so important, to be able to be like, that's not where you're going to find the peace.
Yeah. Amen. Same question. So what are some alternative sources of information that you went through or outlets that you went through in your search?
Yeah, so like I mentioned in my testimony, a lot of the time I found my identity in sleeping with men or smoking. And it wasn't until, like, at first I thought it was okay. I thought it was fine. It was harmless. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me that with sleeping with men, I was really looking for deep intimacy and love that I thought that they could bring me. So telling me that I'm worthy or that I'm capable of being loved is what I thought that was bringing me. And for smoking, it was really, I guess, an escape of reality, right? So I was smoking when I was in pain, and I was just wallowing in my pain, thinking that it was taking it away. But I really,
it was just never enough. I kept filling God-sized void with things that were so temporary, and I'm here to tell you today that God isn't temporary, he's eternal, and he's wanting to live in you eternally forever and to fill you up. And the verse that I thought of was John 4:13-14, and basically Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he tells her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give them will never thirst, and the things of this world will never fill you the way that the Holy Spirit will fill you. I mean, I have been so filled. I've felt so much love, like, I am okay with being alone because I have a God that lives inside of me, and I'm never really alone. And he showed me who I was, who I was called to be, since he knit me in my mother's womb through my community, telling me the truth about myself, but most importantly through his word. It's living and it's alive, and he's just here to fill every single part that you feel like you need something to replace it. He's there to replace it. He's there to be enough, because he is enough, and he's the ultimate source. So yeah.
Awesome. I want all of y'all to, before we close, because we have a call to action for all of y'all, and the call to action is going to be for you to pray about how God wants to use you in our youth ministry. We also have a call to action that there are a lot of young people out there that need to be part of our ministry as a participant. And we have tables at all the campuses who are watching for you to go up and sign up. I'm giving you a heads up what the call to action is going to be so you can hear it twice. But we need y'all. We need y'all. When y'all drive through San Diego and you see kids walking to college, or high school, junior high, elementary school, I want you to know the devil's attacking them. For some of y'all, and I say some of y'all, for some adults, you're already messed up. No, I'm dead serious. Like, I've already trained you for 40 years. I need to train them now. And so the reason we're here is we're trying to be unprogrammed, but we need to help them because the devil's on them. And as I said, they're surrounded by thousands of other kids who are poisoned or don't know God and thinking that drugs and sex and all that stuff is the right thing to do. They don't know any better. That's why we got to help them. And so at all the campuses in a minute, we're going to ask you if you're an adult and say, listen, I think I want to help. If you're cray-cray, don't apply because we're going to do a background check and find out that you're, got craziness in your mind. Okay, please. But if you're not cray-cray, how many of y'all are not cray-cray? Okay, thank you. Okay, great. You know it. At least you know it. So that at least you think you know it. But if you apply, don't flake. Because a lot of people sign up and never show up. Because it's lives are at stake. So if you apply, just say, listen, let me think about it. Let's pray about it. If God tells you, go do it. Okay? I want y'all to give one word to the peoples. About one word of encouragement.
I would say just to, like you said, to serve. I mean, I serve with the 6th through 12th graders, and it is one of the most rewarding things. I was picking up water bottles the other day, and I was full of joy. I'm like, wow, Lord, like, I get to do this for these kids, because, like, I mean, I'm still part of that generation, but, it's our future generation. If there was no adults, then we would be the church, and we need to, serve each other. The second greatest commandment is to love one another as yourself. So, yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Specifically, what's been put on my heart is for, like, any young child, girl specifically, who feels like they're not enough, feels like they need to seek their worth in male attention specifically. You are enough. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in his image, and he wants you to treat your body like a temple, because it is. And I just want to let you know, like, you're not alone. You may feel alone, you may feel unloved, but you have a God who loves you so much. He died for you. And I just wanted to share that.
I think that I want to encourage if you guys are contemplating taking action and taking that leap of faith to do something that you're not comfortable with, like taking action for signing up for being a volunteer or for the youth, and you know, I think a lot of you guys will understand this, being able to talk to your friends about your faith or being outspoken. This is my first church experience. I've only been here 11 months and I'm up on stage talking to you guys right now. So if I can do it, I know you guys can too. So I just encourage you, take that leap for sure.
Well, I mean, I had this whole thing prepared in my head. I wrote it down, but you know, I think the Lord's speaking to me because of my own experiences growing up in the faith. I want to encourage those, specifically the young kids, seeking a deeper and more intimate faith. Just be patient with yourself and don't take your eyes off of Him. It'll happen in due time. Just remember, everything's for a reason. And even more specifically, for the young boys that are dealing with lust, I was exposed to pornography at a really young age, and I'm telling you right now, there's hope. There's hope, because I believe now that He's healed me of my addiction to pornography because and only because of His own doing, His power, His grace, His mercy, and because I acknowledged His presence in my life.
Amen, amen. And even though He said, young boys, all you older guys, watch your pornography, it will destroy your life, for sure. It will prevent you from having an intimate relationship with your significant, your girlfriend, your wife. It will, because that's what it does. It rewires your brain. That's a whole serious sermon on that. God can deliver you. He can renew your mind and heal your ability to bond with your wife. Allie, take it home, and then I'll recap whatever you don't say.
All right. So you, Rock Church, have heard from 4 students, and they gave you all encouragement. But what we want to do is leave this house with a challenge and an invitation to join us. Here in this room, you saw a reflection of 4 students who have been struggling and have been wrestling, and they have found hope in Jesus. But we also know that in this room and outside these walls, that there are students just like them who have yet to find the hope that they want and they have found here, and we need to get it in their hands. Our pastor said that we are going to put the hot sauce, which is the tapatio, the sriracha, all of it, Red Rooster, on evangelism. That Red Rooster is good, Pastor. On evangelism, discipleship, and the next generation. And so what we want to do is offer you an invitation to join us. If you are here in this church and you are hearing our words today, this is not one of these messages and conversations where you say, oh, that's cute, that's for someone else. It's for this house to get after the next generation. So number one, the first one is to join us. Across our location, there are students and there are kids who are not currently involved in our children's ministry and our youth ministry. And we want to invite you to join us today. After service, we'll have teams across our location at the Next Step tents. We will sign you up and we'll get you guys plugged in immediately. Number two, we want you to serve with us. And Pastor, you challenged me. There was a number that I had in my head and you're like, you know what, I think we can go for more. So I was like, all right, cool. 125 was our goal, but we believe that today we can raise up and call out and call up 200 adult leaders.
Let's go.
200 Let's adult go. Leaders across our locations to help us start serving. And you may be thinking to yourself, I've never served. I don't know what's the most hypest music. It's okay. We'll take care of you. All we need to do is after service, come in the lobby, give us your name and your number, and don't worry, we ain't gonna text anything weird, but we're gonna send an invitation to train you up so you can help build an army to reach the next generation. And lastly, give. Some of you guys are like, you know what? I'm not trying to run, but I got money to give. And we want you to sow a seed, not even in just the church, but in this house and the future of the next generation, and help us run to reach those who are in this room and those who are outside, in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen, amen. If y'all could put the slide up for the offering that we're going to take next week, put that slide up next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the campuses. Please go to online to find out where especially in Chula Vista. We're going to have a different campus for you. We don't have the movie theater, but we're going to have you come in with your offering and your dream for your house so we can place your vision on the cross and pray for what God wants to do in your life. We want you to start thinking about, Lord, I want to make an offering for the youth ministry and for what we're going to do in the church and what we're going to do in San Diego with Just One and the countywide youth event. But I also want to invest in my life, your life. Be praying about what God wants to do in your life. You may say, I just want to not be depressed anymore. I want my husband back. I want my wife back. I want to get a career, not a job. What is it that you're praying for your life? We want you to invest in that. God can double dip in your, when you sow into this, you're also sowing into your life. Because when the windows of heaven open up, it's not going to open up. Your gift is not going to open up on necessarily us. It's going to open up on you as well, mainly. And so we want you to be thinking about what you are going to, what you're dreaming about for your house, because we have a heart for your house. And so I'm going to ask all y'all to pray. And I want you to lift your hands up towards these young people. They're representative of all the young people we're going to be reaching out to over the next 3 years. And we want to see the demographic of this church and all churches in San Diego change, because we're going to put together an initiative to help those churches as well. Lord, thank you so much for these young people. Thank you for the testimony that they have, how you have transformed their life and delivered them from things that the devil has put other people in bondage for years. We pray for deliverance for people who are listening right now on all the campuses. As your hands are up in not only an extension towards these people, but your hands are up as an expression of surrender. I just want you to pray in the privacy of your heart with me if you would like to be encouraged today, if you would like to be set free. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I surrender my life to you. I surrender my suicidal thoughts, my depression, my addiction, my low self-esteem, my emptiness, my hopelessness. And anything unmentioned, I pray that the Spirit of God would fill my heart to overflowing. Fill me with the Spirit of God. Fill me with the power of God. May the joy of the Lord be my strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Thank you, Jesus, for being on the throne. We also pray for our country that you would bless the United States with blessings we've never seen before, because you, Jesus, are on the throne. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.